Our second reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, verse 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I was quite busy this week. We had our annual Penn Central Conference Midwinter Convocation in Lancaster this year. In past years, you may recall, we had it at the Hershey Hotel, and there was a particular brand of chocolate bread that I really liked there, but this year we didn't go there. The price has become a little too exorbitant, even in the off-season. So we moved this year to a hotel in Lancaster, and it was a wonderful experience. We had fellowship, worship, and some continuing education events and workshops that we could participate in. And the highlight for me were the worship times, where I could go in and sit down and listen to the music and pray the prayers and hear the spoken word and not have any other responsibilities. It was very nice. And so I want to thank you for allowing me to go again this year. Well, as I mentioned, today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and it precedes our entry into Lent. Now, Lent, I mentioned, begins on Ash Wednesday, and I hope all of you will plan to participate in our Lenten services at St. Luke. The 7 p.m. service this week will be preceded by a soup and sandwich meal at 6 o'clock. And I understand, a little bird told me the sandwiches need to be there by 4. So I just learned that. So if you're planning to make sandwiches, you can either bring them here to the church, I'll make sure they get there, or just drop them at St. Luke. Well, Lent, like most things in life, depends a great deal on how much we put into it. And this season of introspection and reflection, of repentance and reconciliation is no different. And it will mean so much more to you if you take the time to participate in the life of the church and some of the activities that are offered. Well, throughout the season of Epiphany, we have remembered things like the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and in particular, the way God was revealed through Jesus Christ as a God not just of a particular group of people, the Jewish people, but for all people. Our God is a God for all people. And we also had some recurring themes, and one of those was light. The light of Christ and the light of God's people in the world. And today's message continues with that theme of light. And if we look closely, there's some other things too that I think will perhaps make this Transfiguration Day even more meaningful to you. Well, as I read and I thought about the scriptures this week, I was drawn to one part of the scripture in particular. And it's that part that starts in verse 5. Peter, it says, while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Well, can you recall another time when God appeared? The heavens opened and God appeared and a voice was heard? Anyone? When did that happen? Baptism. The baptism of Jesus. Moses, certainly. I'll mention Moses in just a minute. But yeah, the baptism of Jesus. The heavens opened. They say in some translations, a dove descended. And the words, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The words were virtually identical between that incident where Jesus is being baptized, which marked the beginning of his ministry, and this time on the mountain in the Transfiguration. But there's one difference. Did you hear it or recognize it? The voice from heaven adds something. Listen to him. And there's an exclamation mark on that if you look at your scripture. That means emphasis added. Listen to him. And we know with certainty that Jesus often grew frustrated with his disciples, didn't he? And with their lack of understanding. Just go back and read the whole Gospel of Mark. And it's a continuous theme throughout that whole book. You can just see Jesus becoming more and more dismayed by the disciples and their confusion. But as I thought about this voice from heaven, I wondered if there was an edge on that voice. Listen to him. And I wondered if perhaps our Heavenly Father was also a bit annoyed at what he saw as a lack of attention on people's part. And we don't have to look far. Just look beyond the disciples a little bit. And think of the many people that followed Jesus. Most of them were looking for a miracle, or a free meal, a handout, or feeling threatened by Jesus' remarkable popularity. Their hearts were not on reconciliation and repentance, but only on themselves. On making sure they got their share from this miracle man. Or in the case of the Pharisees, making sure that Jesus didn't screw things up for them because they had a good thing going. Are we so different? I remember one of my business colleagues when I worked in industry once responding to a question. He had just received a windfall. His company had sold. He had made so much money, he was very wealthy. He didn't have to work another day in his life. And he was a family man. He had children at home. But rather than taking a break and enjoying perhaps some of that, or doing something with his family, taking him to Disney, isn't that the thing everyone does? He went to work immediately building another company. Immediately. I mean, he didn't take a day off. One of his friends noticed this and said, "Bill, why don't you take some time off and enjoy your success? Don't you have enough?" And Bill's response was this: "It's never enough. I have to have more. I have to have more." Well, I don't know where Bill is today, but wherever he is, I'm sure he is still striving for more. Unless, of course, he has had a change of heart. And soon we'll enter the Lenten season, a time for hearts to be changed. God will be looking to us. How busy we are, how we set our priorities each and every day. Do we take time to pray, to open our Bibles, to read a devotion? I put some devotion books out in the library. They were ones that were sent to me free of charge. If you want to stop and pick one up, please do. Yes, God is looking at us and wondering whether we are listening, whether we might have a change of heart. So go back to the mountaintop with me. That voice from heaven and the similarity with the voice we've heard before. I believe this transfiguration event forms a bridge of sorts between Jesus' baptism, where the voice was heard the first time, and then this mountaintop experience, where Jesus has reached a particular milestone in his ministry. The brilliant light shining in and through Jesus, and the appearance of Moses and Elijah, those are characters from the Old Testament. and the very foundation of the Jewish faith. So perhaps that bridge doesn't just start at the baptism of Jesus. Perhaps it goes even further, back to the very foundations of the Jewish faith, a faith and a heritage that we share. Well, remember just a week ago we read how Jesus promised that his coming was not intended to eliminate the law or replace the law, but to fulfill the law. So I think the bridge does go back into those earliest of times. But then the second part of that scripture verse that drew my attention was the part where the disciples, upon seeing the light and hearing the voice, fall flat on the ground. Have you ever been so frightened that you just fell down flat on the ground? I can remember being on the flight line and having a soldier with a gun tell me to get flat on the ground, and I complied. But one translation I read this week made me laugh. It said, Jesus, who was by this time used to his disciples being plagued by fear, touched them. And he said to them, "Get up, don't be afraid." I could almost see Jesus doing an eye roll. He turns around and there's his disciples laying on the ground again. And he goes over and he touches them and tells them to get up. But there was something else I learned this week that I want to share with you. And it opened my eyes to perhaps a new interpretation of this scripture. Because you see, in the original Greek, the original translation that we have, the word that Jesus uses to tell his disciples to get up is the very same word used to describe Jesus' resurrection. The very same word Jesus uses to tell his disciples to get up is the word used to describe Jesus getting up from the grave in resurrected form. I think that's more than just a coincidence. For me, it's a sign that the bridge that we just talked about extends far beyond, and it bridges to from the Moses and Elijah of the Old Testament to the actual death of Jesus on the cross on Golgotha. You see, this transfiguration event means more than I ever considered. Because in this meeting between Jesus and Moses and Elijah, with Peter and James and John along to witness and remember, it marks Jesus' first steps toward the cross and his crucifixion on Golgotha. The transfiguration is a foreshadowing of the resurrection event. And I believe Jesus has granted strength and courage in this meeting with Moses and Elijah. I'm always amazed when I read how Jesus foretold his own death. Have you ever thought about this? He seemed to know about it pretty early in his ministry. And I think Moses and Elijah must have been there and encouraged him in this. But they also made it clear what he must endure and how important it was that he fulfill this mission. Now, it's one thing for us to undergo pain and suffering when it happens to us and we don't have a choice. But to know well in advance what's going to happen and then to walk towards it willingly, knowing what's going to happen, and then making a sacrifice like the sacrifice of Jesus for all of us. That knowledge should become all that much more meaningful to you, knowing that Jesus walked that path, not just down the road to the cross that one day, but for weeks and weeks before he walked that path. So where are we in this story? I mentioned earlier how the voice from heaven told us to listen to Jesus. And even now, we have probably more in common with my colleague worrying about getting our fair share and how we're going to make it ahead in this world. But I think we can also identify with the fear of the disciples falling prostrate on the ground. They were getting a glimpse into eternity through this incredible and miraculous event. And it was almost too much for them. The scripture says they were overcome by their fear. And it reminds me of how the Israelites were filled with fear when Moses first came down the mountain, Mount Sinai, following his meeting with God. You remember that scripture? He had to cover his face with a veil because people were so frightened by his appearance. And I think those disciples were also afraid of what this meant for them and what they might be called to do. And I think we're like that. We are often afraid of giving up our control, giving up our lives totally to Christ, because we might be called to do something unpleasant. We might be called to do something outside of our comfort zone. We get where we're comfortable with our faith, with the people around us, and we kind of camp out there. And we say to ourselves, let someone else do that. Let someone else take the risks. Let someone else go into the nursing homes or work in the food pantries or reach out to those neighbors that we know are suffering. Last evening, we had a gold award ceremony right here in the fellowship hall. And it was for Alex Witherite and Jesse Smith. They're both with us today. The gold award in Girl Scouting is the highest award the Girl Scouts can achieve. For the Boy Scouts, it's the Eagle Scout Award. For the Girl Scouts, it's the Gold Award. But the requirements are very similar. And I'm very proud of both of these young ladies for several reasons. But I'm most pleased with the ways that I have seen them grow in the last few years. Yes, they've grown physically, but I think they've grown spiritually. And unlike a lot of people their age, they have stayed engaged here at the church. They have remained involved. They have acted as role models to some of our younger children. And I hope they'll continue to do that. But they also stepped outside their comfort zones just to do their projects. And they achieved some things that many of us would not even attempt for fear of failure, for fear of going into places that we didn't know. Alex went on a trip to Guatemala, and Jesse played a key role in the renovation of our basement last summer. And I believe these things are just the beginning for them, because while receiving the award is very nice, the real value came in what they learned and experienced in the process. They had a lot of help to get where they did, and they learned some valuable leadership skills, and they made some memories that they will never forget. But more importantly, I think, is that their faith grew through these things. And they may not have thought much about that when it was happening, but in time, I think this will become the most important memory they have. Because I don't think you can do things like this in God's name and not have your heart transformed by these events. And so there's a lesson there for us too. The more things like this that we do, the more we stretch ourselves, the more our hearts will be transformed and be transfigured into the very heart of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you today. I thank you for Jesse and for Alex and for their parents, for their leaders, their fellow scouts, all those, Lord, that worked with them to help them achieve their goal. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and eyes to opportunities to step out and maybe risk something in our own lives, to do something for you, Lord, that'll help us grow in our faith life. Transform us, Lord, we pray, as we enter into this Lenten season. Lord, help us to walk with you each day and to trust in you, to reconcile us with you. In Christ's name, amen.